Podcast. This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational, to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational, to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by KmarEducation.org. And here is your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Well, hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta. Yes. How is everyone tonight? Question mark. And yes, the towns, the stores are getting ready to open up this coming week. So a very happy time for all of us. Finally, haircut. And what happened to my layers? I looked in the mirror today because I made myself really pretty coming to the radio station. And the layers are all gone, so it's really time this week to go. It was bun time, you know, back in a bun, putting it up in a bun for 2.5 months. So you had other things to worry about besides your hair, you know. But anyway, tonight's topic, new norm, business not as usual for the way we live, the way we work, the way we learn. So I will have 3 segments. And we're going into details about, the way we live now and the way we work and the way we learn. And by the way, we have some extra noises here. Our engineer will try to correct that. So tonight's program was brought to you in part by KmarEducation.org. I have incredible guests tonight. You probably already know from some of our previous programs. Melissa Marty, RN and business owner of Lakeside Nutrition in Monroe, Connecticut. Good evening, Melissa. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Destiny Witcher, also a WICC listener, a longtime listener, entrepreneur. She's from Monroe, Connecticut. Good evening, Destiny. How are you?
Good evening. Okay.
I can hear you fantastic. And, you know, I promised everybody someday we're going to Hollywood. And tonight we're going to Hollywood because our next guest, Gene Thompson, author, songwriter, and educator, he is from Hollywood, California. Good evening, Gene. How are you?
Marietta, how are you this evening? I'm doing fine.
We're going to Hollywood. We are in Hollywood with you.
You're in Hollywood right now.
Go Hollywood. And I have to tell everybody, Luke Fry from the Better Business Bureau could not be with us tonight due to a family emergency. Well, we have a lot to discuss tonight. I have just a few announcements for you, and then we get started. Lakeside Nutrition, Monroe, Connecticut, is reopening their doors June 1st with a new summer menu, smoothie bowls. And, of course, Melissa will talk about that a little later in the program. Now it's time to contact a betterviewwindow.com to get all your windows cleaned, commercial and residential services. Call Paul at 203-284-8836 for a free estimate. That is 203-284-8836. Who doesn't want their windows cleaned? You know, now we're going back to work. I mean, what the heck, you know? We don't have time for that. KMAR Educational Services and NaturalPetOutlet.com are getting ready for June 5th for free dog and cat food giveaway. Last call tomorrow, June 1st, to register. Call Marietta, 203-505-3660. You will need a reservation number to be able to pick up the food. And I just want to let everybody know that the Natural Pet Outlet in Bridgeport location and Monroe location, they specialize in natural foods at discount prices. So they specialize in raw dog and cat food. They sell overstock to the public. And they sell overstock also to the discount stores where you might be going to the Christmas Tree or Ocean Lot, whatever other discount store they have. So they are the specialist. I love them. Their stores are immaculate, and you get the finest manufacturing dog food. They have the best brand that they carry. And also they have bubble baths for the doggies. You know, and I had to Google how often a dog has to be bathed. Well, every 2 months they really should be bathed. So I don't know. That's what Google University said. I don't have a dog. I have a cat. So thank you again for naturalpetoutlet.com for sponsoring us. And the last announcement I have, happy belated birthday to Skyler, who had his second birthday a week ago. A handsome blue-eyed boy, a Siberian husky, listening with us is his dad, Jimmy, and hello to Skylar and Jimmy. So we'll see you soon. And I'm actually, thank you for the applause. Thank you. All right. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm all done. I'm all done with the announcements. We're getting ready for our first segment. So, Mr. Engineer, you can hit it.
I put a spell on you. Cause it's gone now. You better stop the fence you're doing.
Thank you for tuning in to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta. The Way We Live is our first segment under the new norm, business not as usual. And, you know, we don't have a crystal ball. Nobody has a crystal ball. So we're still creating the new norm, folks. We don't really know yet how everything is going to work. And, you know, again, we don't have the crystal ball. But what I want to start with is our country is angry. People protesting across the U.S., police officer charged with murdering unarmed black man George Floyd. So, people have lost trust in police, your friend and helper, for a long, long time now. And I like to start the conversation with Whitney. With Destiny. Sorry, I called you Whitney. See, you get me confused, Destiny.
Sorry.
So, you have heard, you have seen the CNN, the news, what happened this past week. And what do you think about this?
I think it was a very terrible event. And I think the officer, I forget his name, it had his knee on the man's neck, should have listened to one of the officers. The guy was down on the ground. He had his handcuffs. And he really shouldn't have died. And I think part of it also was he said he was allergic to small spaces. They didn't listen. And he said he couldn't breathe. And then it set off all these horrible things. They're destroying people's places, places that people go to work when they can go back to it. Now, like, some of them have no place to go to. And they're walking around in front of the Capitol, in front of where the president is. And I go, he didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, well, the people are protesting. They started off in Minneapolis, and you know how quickly it spread throughout the United States. Incredible how they all organized that. So it's no longer about Mr. George Floyd that died. It's about other people's intention. And I watched CNN last night, and I have nothing better to do on a Saturday night to watch this crap, you know, and the poor police officers, I do have to say that, you know, have to spend their time and put their life on the line for all of this nonsense. I shook my head, and I finally couldn't watch it anymore. I watched for maybe a couple of hours, you know. So, and anyway, I want to bring Melissa in now. Melissa, what do you think?
So, I kind of agree with Destiny. I do agree with Destiny. And I also think that, you know, I understand what people are trying to do by protesting. They're trying to get their voices heard. But unfortunately, it's not going to change the situation. Like, I was on the highway today and had to get off because they were protesting in New Haven. They had to actually shut the highway down for several exits because there were so many people protesting. And, you know, it's interrupting people's lives, and I get it, and I don't agree with what they did. You know, the other officers, I feel like more could have been done at the scene of this horrific event. But unfortunately, nothing else was done, and, you know, you really can't change that. But I feel like the officers are being dealt with in the proper manner as far as being arrested and losing benefits and things like that. But I feel like the people here, I mean, we're in Connecticut, and it's not going to change things as far as what's going to happen. You know, unfortunately, people still have their beliefs, and they're strong in their beliefs. And, you know, no protest is going to change the way people feel about these things. And now these officers are also putting their lives on the line, never mind the fact that we're supposed to still be social distancing. And you have huge, large groups of people together. I mean, that's not really helping the other issue that's happening right now in our country. You know, so...
And I was watching last night CNN, and the onlookers... What the heck are they doing on the road? That's the excitement? That's excitement from them?
Yep.
For them?
I know. Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to bring in Gene. Gene, what do you think about all of that?
From my perspective, as a black man in America, we've kind of dealt with this for many years, a long time. And I would like to say that if there's good officers and there's bad officers, I've encountered mostly good officers, but you do have a certain amount that just don't get it. And it just causes and disrupts America on a hold. And people just don't feel free. As an officer, I feel that they're appointed to be servants of the public, not bosses. Many times they will approach the car and they'll have an attitude like you should almost worship them.
Exactly.
As an entity, almost like a god, but they have the wrong attitude. But again, not all of them are like that. So I do feel bad for police officers because most of them are good and they're getting a bad rap. They have to put up with a lot of crap out of people every day. And then they got families they have to go home to. They have sons and daughters and family just like us, and they're human beings. But then you still, on the other hand, you still have the few that are bad. But that's all across life. You have good and bad and everything. So we can't blame the total police department for everything that's going on. What people have to do is get out and vote. If the guy that actually held his knee.
Yeah.
On George's neck until he passed away.
Yeah.
And they said he had over 10 counts against him, 10 previous
18
complaints. Eighteen complaints.
Yes.
So whoever allowed him to stay in that position, there's an order of people that allowed that. Get out and vote. You can change instead of looting and rioting and fighting. You can use your vote to change things. As far as with the looting, looking at that today on TV, just is sick in my stomach to see that. It's just not wrong. I mean, it's just not right. Most of those people worked so hard in their life to attain what they have. Achieving your goals in life and becoming successful in business, it's not easy. Sometimes it takes years, but someone can come along and take it away from you for a reason like this in a matter of seconds. So I disagree with that. And I disagree with the way George was handled. But there's a point where something has to be done. What it is, I don't know. But we need to sit down, find out a way to do this so everyone can live a life peaceably in this country. Because let's face it, this country has more nationalities and different types of people than anywhere else in the world. And that we should be as a model showing the rest of the world that this is how it should, you know, life should be lived on Earth. One human being helping another. But in this instance, we don't have that. But I'm just really upset with the whole thing. I really am.
Same here. Thank you for your input. Also, what I was thinking, you know, a police officer, I can't even imagine imagining what it's like day in, day out, dealing with the very, very dark side of life and people.
Yeah.
And that must take over somebody's mind. That person, some of the officers must get very desensitized. Also, what I've noticed, the arrogance and the misuse of power in general. So that's all I want to say. And police needs to be held accountable. And when wrongdoing, they should be prosecuted to the fullest. So I like to bring in, and you know, for tonight, I had Anthony Lupinacci scheduled. He is a retired police officer and also a detective from Stanford. And he had last minute, he also had an emergency, so he could not be with us. And he also was very verbal on Facebook with this whole situation. I'd like to bring in Barbara Bittman from Fairfield. She's also a longtime WICC listener and an entrepreneur. Good evening, Barbara. Thank you for joining us. What is your input on this situation?
Hi, Marietta. How are you doing?
Hi, good.
I have a lot of what has already been said was dittoed in my mind. I want to say that, as the last gentleman said, that there is good and bad in everything. There's good and bad at police. There's good and bad doctors. There are good and bad business people. I think that we all have, if we search far enough inside, we all have an inherent good side. But something happens to the cops, the whatevers, the neighbors, whatever. Something, I believe, in their path, that evil side takes over. Now, whether it's something that recently happened or not, I'm not quite sure. I thought about that in my heart.
Bravo. Bravo. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Rich.
The other thing that I was seeing is all the looting and the stealing and black, white, purple people. I mean, how does that help? It only, to me, endangers.
Right. They all have their own intention. So it went beyond the murdering of Mr. George Floyd.
Yeah.
So they all are out there on their own, you know, their own intentions.
They all have a hidden agenda.
Hidden agenda, yes.
Yep. And the other thing, I think that sometimes, and not all times, because I don't know everything when it comes to this, that, you know, sometimes rights and responsibilities and privileges that we in America have, most of us, myself included, sometimes we forget that we have rights, but we have certain obligations that we have to serve. In other words, because of this murder, and it sickens me to think that that's how it was done, but by doing something else that disturbs someone else's right, a right to own a business, a right to, you know, take a walk, or a right to drive on the highway today with all the interruptions. That's, you're interfering with those rights. Now, granted, it's not murder, but that's so wrong in so many ways. And the policeman, you know, as I think his name, I can't remember the gentleman's name, you know, they have families. They get up and they do their job. And for the most part, most of them are fine. In my family, we have a detective, a very high-ranking detective, and some of the stories I hear are terrible. I mean, I just don't even understand it. And when they go out and they get up and they get dressed and they go to do their job to the best of their ability, and then someone comes along and throws something at them, they're injured, or a car comes by thinking it's funny and they'll get close and they knock him down and he's dead. You know, these people go out for our good to keep order. And most of them do that. But there are some that, you know, go the other way. And like I said, I think to be an officer or to be an oncology nurse or whatever it is, I think it takes a certain mindset. You know, if you're a nurse, you have the mindset that you want to help people. And sadly, if you're an oncology nurse administering chemo, you know darn well that some of those people aren't going to make it. And I believe when a police officer goes to work, he has to know that he may meet up with someone who is quote unquote evil. But I don't think that that's the majority. I think that's the exception of people. And it's sad, but there are those who are cops, police officers, judges, or whatever, that just they get that I am a powerful person. I am more powerful than you. I have more rights than you, which is just totally wrong. I hear this stuff all the time. I stopped having TV in my house because of all the horrible things that were on TV.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of my news from newspapers, radio, internet, and obviously everything you read or see or hear is not gospel truth.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very much. Thank you for your input. What I want to do is just a quick music break, and then I want to get into segment two, the way we work. I want to get your input on this. So just a quick music break, and we'll be right back.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet. There's such a difference between us.
And we're back. New norm, business not as usual. And in segment two, the way we work. We know that 20.7 million jobs were lost. So the U.S. unemployment rate skyrocketed to 14.7%. The liquor industry is booming. How come they were part of an essential business? So the therapist's office is probably booming as well. The anxiety, people are stressed out. People worry about not having a job to return to. Well, that's right. Or finding a new job. So I say to that, instead of worrying, take matters into your own hands. That's what I say, of course, you know. So I would like to, since we're not in the studio, we're miles apart here, I like to ask Melissa, as a registered nurse, you take care of the elderly, and you're also a business owner. What do you say to all of this? What's in your mind? What's on your mind?
In regards to the new norm?
Yes, in regards about work in general.
Okay. So, from a nursing perspective, it's definitely, you guys, like you were just talking about with like mental health and things like that, it's been very trying because it's very hard. I work privately with two patients in their homes, and one of them is capable of going out. He's in a wheelchair, but he's capable of going out. But unfortunately, has not left the house in several months because of everything that's going on. We have ventured out to take rides, but that still doesn't really do it for him. He is actually a mouth painter, and we usually go like on scene to like the beach or the trails, things like that, which we cannot do right now because it's too risky for him as he is super immune compromised. So in regards to the nursing aspect of things, it's definitely changed, A, the way we think, the way we do things, and also the way we treat and, you know, our patients, because we have to be even more conscientious now about what we're doing because we don't want to bring that to our patients. You know, if we're going to the store, if we're going here or there, you know, we're very limited as to what we can do as nurses as well because we don't want to bring it to our patients. And then also, you know, having to wear masks all the time, that's really, our bodies are not meant for that. So to have to wear a mask for, I work 12 hours with my patients. So when I have to wear a mask for 12 hours, it's very trying on me as the caregiver because it, you know, breathing in all that extra CO2, you know, our bodies are not made for that. That's why we exhale. We exhale the CO2, which is the bad stuff. So, you know, we constantly having to take breaks, you know, going away from my patient to just take my mask off for 5 or 10 minutes. It's definitely a new norm and we're getting used to it, but it's, you know, it's very trying. In the business aspect of things, I mean, we were fortunate enough to stay open throughout this. We just changed, we adapted to the surroundings. We did curbside. We weren't allowing people in the building, things like that. deliveries, which was great. Still be able to provide our healthy shakes and teas to everybody. But now, as of tomorrow, we will be allowing people back in. Obviously, things look a little different inside the club right now. You know, we had to mark the floors and
right.
make sure we had everything measured out. People can't come in unless they have a mask on. Still encouraging people to call ahead for curbside pickup. But definitely welcoming people back in. On Saturday, we had a little bit of like a kickoff party.
Right.
And it was great to actually have conversations with people and answer their questions in person.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
But it's still scary,
yeah.
you know?
You know, people over 65 should stay home for safety reasons, we were told. Everyone, please use their own judgment on this. That's my take. Because many
Absolutely.
People are still working in their 70s and 80s. I was listening to a... It was on local television. A local barber from Milford closed. He was 80 years old. He was in the business 60 years. And he had a problem just with the new guidelines. He said, it's time. You saw him sweeping the floor. You know, the camera just kind of focused in on it. Like his time was maybe to retire. And he was 80 years old. So there are a lot of people over 65 still in the workforce, gladly to be in the workforce. So I like to bring Destiny in. What is your take on that?
Well, I did work until I was 69, but now I'm one of the lucky ones that has to stay home because I'm over 70 and I have three pre-existing conditions. So I'm not able to go out and get a job, and there's no way to earn any money, extra money. So it's kind of tough, and I don't even know how people are going to go out for interviews, go to employment to see if they can get a job. I think it's very difficult.
Right. What about you, Barbara? I'd like to bring you in. What do you think about people over 65? You know, they should stay home for safety reasons and this, that, and the other. What do you think?
I agree. You have to make up your own mind. It depends on what your conditions are. You know, like if you have a heart issue, I would definitely say you should stay home because this virus goes right to your heart and lungs. However, I think, you know, there is a certain amount of time that you can't stay at home forever. I mean, you don't have to go to a store, but you can go out and walk by the beach. You can... observe nature. I think one of the other things, as far as employment goes, I think that you have to reinvent yourself if you are someone who is still working and you're over 65, and search inside and see what kind of talents or skills you may have that you may have not really realized, and you need to see how you can use those skills to find some kind of unemployment.
Exactly.
Be your own boss, you know. I also have been very mindful of, during this pandemic, the amount of businesses that are gouging prices on hand sanitizer, on wipes, on, you know, I don't know how those people sleep at night, honestly.
Oh, I bet they sleep just fine, Barbara.
Oh, I'm sure they
do. I know what
they,
you mean.
All the way to the bank, right?
I bet.
Yeah, I think it's this time that we are not allowed to be out or in stores or whatever. I think it's a good time. I know for me, it's been a good, for lack of a better word, soul searching to see how I can improve, how I can help my fellow man, woman, neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean I have to go breathe in their face or kiss them. But, you know, there are plenty of ways. Or drop a note to a friend you maybe haven't seen for a while, but you know that, you know, they're not allowed to go out. Just a simple gesture, a simple phone call. You know, I got a card this week in the mail from someone, and it just brightened my day. It's the small things, I think, that will help us get through this.
Absolutely.
Not everybody gets big things.
Exactly. You know, when people are out of work, some industries are just not affected by the COVID-19.
Right.
Some people are really hurting. they can't pay their bills and they can't put food on the table. So that's why we have the pet program, so they won't get rid of their pets. You know, if they have to make a decision to continuously put food on the table, the dog has to go. That breaks my heart. So I'm very happy, you know, at least we can help a little bit. Now, there's some people are just fine, and they're collecting unemployment and earning more money than working. You know, when you really add that up, a retroactive February 2nd right through July, that's over 10 grand, just under $600 a week without your without your unemployment pay.
Right.
That's incredible. That's really, really incredible. So a lot of people say, oh, I, you know, whatever. I don't agree with that, you know, and but as long as they can milk it, they will. So that's...
Well, I think people haven't thought the whole thing through because somewhere down the line, and probably sooner than later, we're all going to pay for that. They're
yes.
going to raise our taxes. Mm-hmm. Our children's children are going to pay. I mean, we're all going to pay. Mm-hmm. It looks like a great thing now. But in reality, it will help people to put food, but it's not going to last.
Well, here's the thing, too. If you go, I thought about this. I had the pencil and paper the other day. It was just a couple of days ago. Because for myself, I'm self-employed. I've never even filed. You know, I can't file. So I've been self-employed for 37 years. So, but I sat down and I really just put it on a piece of paper and I said, oh my God, if you can't go anywhere in 3 months, you know, you the money accumulates unless you figure out ways to spend it online and have it shipped to your house. You know, a lot of people, they're not frugal. They don't think, you know, what can be ahead of us. So people are spending money left and right, some of the people. And some of the people haven't even gotten their unemployment check yet. We had one of the listeners on one of the other programs on Friday. She said, I've been waiting since March to get, you know, to get my unemployment check. And then some of them will never go back to work, fear of, you know, they could get infected, you know, at the workplace. So I understand that, too. I really, really do. So what I want to do is I want to go for a 4-minute break with our advertisers and then we'll back. So please stay tuned.
In time, I'm telling you, I'm not going to win.
RAPropertyCareServices.com is your Fairfield County landscaping company for trees, garden, seasonal property maintenance, and snow plowing. 20 plus years experience. Senior citizens discount. Call today for free estimate. 203-280-3495. That's 203-280-3495. On the web, RAPropertyCareServices.com. KMarEducation.org and NaturalPetOutlet.com are helping pet owners with free dog and cat food in these challenging times. Giveaway on Friday, June 5th. Go to KMarEducation.org for sign-up and all information. Deadline, June 1st. Reservations a must. Sponsored by KMarEducation.org and NaturalPetOutlet.com, Bridgeport and Monroe.
The Healing Mind Magazine.com is a life learning classroom connecting globally, home of Life Talk Radio with Marietta and podcasts. Get to know exceptional people through awareness, education, inspiration, motivation. We establish movement, change, and growth for mind, body, and spirit at any age. Come join and be part of our radio and magazine community worldwide. Visit and subscribe to TheHealingMindMagazine.com. That's TheHealingMindMagazine.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases. And soon, you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with, so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life. How people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
The Camellias, A Dream with Wings, a wonderful book written by author Enid Nivray, reaching ages 3 to 11, helping every child grow, learning about forgiveness, goal setting, acceptance, and fundamentals of life. Go to GeneThompsonMedia.com for purchase. GeneThompsonMedia.com. The Camellias, A Dream with Wings book.
Life Talk with Marietta continues on WICC 600.
And we're back. Thank you for tuning in to Live Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta. I have some incredible guests tonight. Melissa Marty. She's an RN and business owner of Lakeside Nutrition in Monroe, Connecticut. Thank you for being with us, Melissa. Barbara Bittman, a long-term WICC station listener, a friend and an entrepreneur from Fairfield, Connecticut. Thank you, Barbara, again. Destiny Witcher, also a long-time listener, WICC, and entrepreneur. Thank you, Destiny. And, of course, Jean Thompson, author, songwriter, and educator from Hollywood, California. Thank you so much, Jean, for all of you, really, for being with us tonight. And I'd like to start with Jean. This incredible book, The Camellias, A Dream with Wings. It's $26.95 for ages 3 to 10. And it's for fundamental life skills that you really an advocate for. Now, I want to go over to our third segment, and I'd like to start with you, how people learn. And I want to mention one more thing. We don't know everything about Jean yet, but that will change over time. Jean, you also go into juvenile jails to visit juveniles. If you could just briefly talk about that, and then we go into the learning, the new norm learning. So please, if you would be so kind and talk a little bit about your work.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. For everyone out there that's listening, I stay in the state of California, in the city of Los Angeles. I basically live in Hollywood. But I serve through my church, and we go into the prisons and juvenile systems here to help encourage especially the young people, because they're the foundation of the world. The faces are the foundation. They're the new seeds that we need to continue life here on Earth. And they need help, and they need guidance. A lot of them are – they're off, and they've lost their way. So what I do is I go in and I pick a particular scripture but I use that scripture as a foundation to mentor them and to help them grow and see where they made their mistakes in life and then how they can correct those mistakes and get back on the right track and become productive young people.
How young are they? How young are they?
I've been in with children that are as young as 10 years old that are locked up.
That's incredible. And for what, Gene? I know we had an off-air conversation a couple of days ago, but please tell the audience for what why they're locked up. For what?
It can be different things. This one particular child that we were talking about, he was in the 10-year-old. He was in for tagging. It's tagging, but it's essentially a graffiti where they write on walls or on businesses or whatever. And it's against the law because it's so out of control. And you can go to jail for that. And he essentially got locked up. And when I asked him, how did this happen? He just basically told me that no support at home. Those weren't his words. His words were more in the sense of a child. But he told me basically his mom was not that much at home. She had to work. And when she was there, he didn't get much attention. So he was basically left to fend for himself. I guess you'd call it a latchkey child. And when a child is, what do they call it? The something mind is the devil's workshop. So he basically was left to himself and he went out and he committed this soft crime and it ended him up incarcerated. And it was so sad. I almost wanted to cry when I saw him there because I figured this is a 10-year-old child and he's already on the way to being institutionalized. But, you know, I do what I can, and hopefully with the small amount that I can do, hopefully it's pasted to their hearts and they can receive that and then grow from that. And that's all that I can do as a human being. And if we all do that and we're all consistent with giving whatever we have to give, I think we can make the world a better place.
Yes, and those are not just words because you and I talked a couple of days ago for 1 hour, and I cried, and I'm going to try not to cry.
Aww.
But you know what? What came out of that conversation, the next program, which is for next Sunday. And I want to say that the desire to leave a mark impacting the life of others, just what you're saying, you're trying to do a little bit. And I immediately, after I cried and cried, I said, Gene, that's what we're going to do. I had the title for the next show. So the desire to leave a mark, it's in every one of us. How do we want to be remembered? Do we know what impact we have on others? And also the way we made a difference in other people's lives. Sometimes we just don't know that. But that's the topic for next Sunday. Because it's so important. We all are helping people. But, you know, not everybody gets to see what effect it had on others. And I better change the subject now because I'm starting to cry. Because it's a hard thing. It's a total hard thing with me, you know? So, fundamental life skills. This is what you built in your book, The Camellias. But I want to go over now. It's the fundamental skills need to be taught at home, not in school. Yeah. So teachers have their hands full. But now, you know, since we've been home for 3 months, online learning has started. So what do you think about that? How effective, and I want to ask everybody, but I want to start with Gene. How effective do you think online learning is?
Online learning, from my perspective, it's good, but I don't think it's the end of all because we're still human. And we need that. We work better in groups. We work better because we develop life skills when we're in a setting with other people that you'll use and you'll grow with and you'll be able to use later on in life, in business, in marriage, and family, and coach, and everything. But if you're separate and you're just learning from a screen with other people, like we're using, what's it called, Zoom now or something like that? It's too far of a distance. It's not enough one-on-one or group a group like congregation to be able to grow from.
Yeah, because we need the intimacy and the immediacy.
Yes.
Of face-to-face learning. I did a little bit of reading online and so forth today. So as long as we understand that digital tools are complements, not substitutes. So that's how I look at it as well. And, you know, when I said, well, you know, because I hadn't really looked at it, and I had to read some articles and so forth. And I said, well, how is that possible that some students can learn faster online and, you know, at their own speed? And I said, oh, then the light bulb went off. And I said, oh, that's right. In the classroom, there's one speed, one pace. So some are thinking faster than others. Some get it faster than others. So if they really have the right technology, you know, they can learn at their own pace. But the problem is to stay focused and to, you know, be engaged on a consistent basis. And that is not happening. So I know they're developing all kinds of technology to keep the kids engaged. And, you know, that's all coming out. I did a little bit of reading on that. I'd like to go over to Barbara now. Barbara, what do you think about online learning? Your input.
Well, my son and my daughter-in-law are both teachers. My son teaches calculus too, and that, and my daughter-in-law is an English teacher. They're both in high school. And getting a lot of input from them, some students, I don't care if they're virtual or in person, some are just, they don't get it, and they don't want to get it. But I think it depends on the subject, because like my son says with the math, that if the kids are going to do the work, they're going to get it. A lot of times I do agree that, you know, we learn from each other in a setting. You know, you might say, okay, what do you think about this, you know, book or whatever? And, you know, you might get that input. But if you're in the classroom together, you know, John may say this and Sue may say that. And, you know, and then it opens your mind up. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a very helpful thing. Whereas if you just, you know, see it, okay, and the teacher says X, but really you could get X, Y, and Z. I think that that's very good. It isn't for everybody. You know, it's just like not everybody likes chocolate ice cream. You know, not everybody is going to do well with that. I also think, as far as the learning goes, that I think if we, there's one really important thing missing from the virtual, I think it's touch. I think that, you know, you need to be in touch with someone else. I don't mean physically touching it, but if you're in a group, you get a certain amount of camaraderie.
Yes.
And I think that fosters good learning. And the other thing I wanted to say is recently I've read something. For anybody that doesn't know, my son passed away. And when I was at the cemetery one day, I looked at his birth date and his death date. And I had heard something on the radio, actually, that said, it doesn't matter when you're born or when you pass. It's that dash in the middle that makes that's most important. And I think if we as humans would remember that and try to better ourselves, whether it's through taking a class, being kind to a neighbor, you know, doing a favor for someone, I think that that's really where we're at. And I always try to put myself in the position of the other person. If this were to happen, how would I want someone to treat me? And I think that that's an important thing. I think so many times we're so busy doing this or that or whatever, we sometimes take the very simple things for granted. And you feel like, oh, poor me, whoa. But that's not how life is. It isn't. It's much more than that. And if you do, you know, not that you have to be cerebral, everybody doesn't, but if you think about things, I think those are the people, there's the people who are half full glass and half empty. And if you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it. But if you're looking for good things, you're going to find it. It may take work, but we just have to re-educate ourselves to a different way of approaching things.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Just from the 3 months program with the pets, I met incredible people. I met you, Barbara. I met Destiny. I met many other people that are absolutely through the dogs and cats. We connected. Absolutely wonderful.
It was a big plus for me. I know that, and it was. I really appreciate all that you do.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you for everyone.
Yes, Destiny. You have done so much in your lifetime. I would have a project for you because in communication, you're number one, I tell you. But I want to go back to the online learning. What do you think about that?
I really don't like the online learning because there is no personal touch. I think it can work for a while if there's no other way. And I think that children, young adults, I think they need social interaction in the classroom. It's very important for them to grow.
Yes.
Among their peers and with adults and their teachers. And I think you learn a lot by socialization. And I think if you stay home all the time, but I don't think it's a growth.
You can't connect. We can connect then, and we have to connect.
Yes.
We have to connect with our peers. We have to connect with people. So I don't know how this all is going to look. I know the technology, the colleges and the schools, they're going for online. That's they're going to develop it further and so forth. I just hope we can go back to the classroom like it was. Melissa, I'd like to bring you in now. We have about 4 minutes left. What do you think about the effectiveness of learning online?
So I actually have a teenage son who's in high school, who's a sophomore going into his junior year. He goes to a technical high school, Emmett O'Brien in Derby, Ansonia. So he's in a shop. He's in HVAC. And I have mixed feelings about it. I agree with everyone. I don't feel like it's as effective. He's supposed to be on, say the classroom from 8:30 to say 1 o'clock. But typically his work is done within like the first hour or two. He has his assignments. He gets them done. The teachers have certain things that they do interacting with the children, but it's not much. The kids don't put their screens on. Only the teacher has their screen on. So there's no, actual interaction of the student.
We have a minute and a half left. I just want to tell you, a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Sure. Yep. So I think that it's definitely not very effective, and I agree with everyone on the fact that there's no actual contact. So that's one thing that my son really keeps talking about is the fact that he really misses, seeing his friends and talking to his teachers and having that actual physical interaction with them. And that's definitely going to be trying on all these kids as they try to go back to the new norm.
Thank you so much. I want to thank Jean, Barbara, Melissa, and Destiny for making this Life Talk possible tonight. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. And a big
thank
hug to all of you. To all of you. And we'll see you next week, Sunday from 7 to 8 here on Life Talk. And we wish you a good week. And go to the barber. Go to get your hair cut. I know I'm going. So a big hug to everybody. Thank you. Be well.
Okay.